And we're back, fellas. Episode 115, 80s, 90s, 2000 vibes. I'm your host, Matt Corbin. The fellas, as usual, Jamar, Lee Boy. Fellas, what y'all got going on? How y'all feeling?
Wait, as usual, I don't know. You kind of
the weak link is gone. The weak link is gone.
We'll get right into it.
Oh man,
week was good, man. Everything was going smooth until, you know, just recently it just went down. You know, that's a lie. It wasn't too smooth on Christmas Eve for my Cowboys and goddamn Lakers lost against the Celtics. But, you know, that's just funny games. It ain't real life. You know what I'm saying? Some real life shit going down, bro. man. And Christmas just passed. How was y'all Christmas and everything?
Man, I spent Christmas hustling, man. Christmas ain't Christmas right now for me. I guess until I have a family. Or whatever that shit entails. But until then, man, every day the same for me, bro. Literally, Monday to Sunday, it don't make no difference, bro. It's all the same for me every single day. How was you? How everything going?
McDonald's was closed, bro. You need to take a break. I spent time with the family. I ate. I watched the Giants make a valiant effort and lose. Like you said, I watched the Lakers get spanked. That was disappointing, especially when AD put up 40. But it is what it is. Like I said, overall, good holiday. It was freezing here in Kansas City. I don't know about y'all weather-wise, but yeah.
It was pretty cool down here in Houston.
It was hot as hell. I had a jacket on looking crazy, trying to look like something like Christmas. You know what I'm saying? I still got my PJs on. In fact, I could have a whole rant on how I'm done with the Christmas PJs. Because everybody, I'm gonna get these same plaid PJs. That's not even the rant today, but I still got them on right now. But for real, let me tell you something that irritates me. When you buy me a gift that requires work, stop giving me a goddamn Christmas gift. And these are usually for the kids, right? You're gonna give me a Christmas gift that requires extensive assembly. Or I got to get a subscription, or you buying me like a Roblox gift card. I don't even got Roblox. So now I got to go get a whole system where I don't even know how they play that shit. But stop giving me these goddamn gifts for my kids that requires me to do all the work to teach them how to play the game. I don't got time for your gifts. You imposing on my life. You know what I'm saying? You require me to put in 2-3 hours over here on a goddamn. We was marble racing yesterday. Marble racing. And that's how. Marble racing. That's how I missed the damn meeting that we was prepping for. But then some real big news came out. You know what I'm saying? But that's just light work this week because I just been busy putting together. Oh, and look, even with the Nintendo Switch, back in the day, you just plug the shit up. You know, just put it on the TV. Now you gotta have an account. You gotta set up the kids' account. You gotta deny them access. You gotta set up the code. No, bruh, I don't got time.
2023.
Play with your own gift, son. That's all
I got. The adult version of the Switch, so I don't got to do all of that, but it's a lot. I seen the features. I feel you.
So like I was saying, I don't like Christmas gifts that require work. This is the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast. Have a nice day. I am Lee Boy. Let's do it. And Jamar, apparently Jamar also is irritated right now. He has something to get off his chest. You know, we are missing a member today. So
we ain't missing a member. That nigga's gone. Obviously, one person is gone. Chaburro underscore Gigolo. First of all, my nigga, you in your mid-40s still referring to yourself as Gigolo. I should have known something was wrong with your ass then, bro. Damn. Okay. I'm gonna keep it a stack. Before we get into it, fellas, Matt Leboy, every Monday we have a creative meeting for this podcast that we fucking on right now, right? We record on Wednesday. Y'all will be hearing this podcast on a Friday. So Monday, creative meeting. Wednesday, we record. Friday, the episode drops. That's how we roll. That's how we do things around here.
That's it. There you go.
So, Chaburro didn't show up for the meeting Monday, whatever.
Oh, we pushed it back to Tuesday because Monday was Christmas.
Right. He didn't show up for the meeting Tuesday, which is fine, whatever, you know what I'm saying? So we put the episodes together, and once we put the episodes together, I screenshot it and I send it to the group chat. I do this every fucking week, bro. This nigga has the audacity to miss the meeting, then get in the fucking group chat crying, complaining, cursing, calling us
gossip girls.
Yep. You want to be Joe Budden?
Daddy patties and all this. Chad, look,
my nigga, who the fuck do you think, Chuck Burrow? Who the fuck do you think you are, son? Straight up, son, you in the same spot, the same amount of followers where I fucking found you at, my nigga. We made two segments for you. We say, okay, first of all, when Lee Boy and Matt joined, I called him. I said, Trump, bro, we changed up the format a bit. I don't know how many fucking times I've repeated myself to this fucking dude.
I will go ahead and vouch for that. No, you have said we are changing the format many times.
That's why I'm glad other people are here, because I'm tired of being viewed as the villain. We talk about nostalgic-based people now, meaning if they've been around for a long time, we talk about stuff, maybe current stuff that they're doing now, and... Okay, to help you gel with the new cast and the new format, your Josh Burrow, you have a hot take every week. You have a nostalgic-based topic that you should come up with every fucking week. That is your assignment every week. You have two basic topics to yourself. You're the only one on this fucking podcast who got two topics to them fucking selves. And then you couldn't even prepare for that. Some weeks you ain't have shit for that. Who the fuck do you think you are, bro? Like, you act like you Jordan or somebody. Man, then you had the nerve in the group chat, nigga, to tell me that I fucking need you. You old ass nigga, I don't need shit from you. You don't got nothing I want. I'm glad I'm not you. What are you talking about, nigga? Who do you think you're dealing with? See, man. you let the Cardi ass, you done got too comfortable with me. You don't know a fucking thing about me. You don't know how I was raised. You don't know what I'm capable of. How you gonna tell a nigga with a college fucking degree, his own place, his own car, his own money, his own boss? How you gonna tell a nigga like that he needs you? Who the fuck are you? Don't you still stay at home?
What?
But I need you. Lee Boy got his own credentials. Matt got their own credentials. Who the fuck do you are the weak link, nigga? And all that gangster shit you was talking in the group chat, nigga, you ain't even five, you barely 5 foot, son. I'm 6'3", 235, son. Who, man, I would crush you. So with that being said, bro, you not welcome here, bro. I don't want to hear no apology. We ain't going to be cool again. You can't come here no more. It ain't none of that reconciling. We ain't bros. We ain't nothing. You ain't nothing to me, nigga. Ever, so I don't ever try to come back to me, nigga. You ain't shit. And when I throw a blow at your punk ass, just eat it, nigga, because you ain't shit. And ain't nothing you can do about it. Straight like that. You bum ass nigga.
All right. Platinum, we done. It's a flagrant. Jeez. Went in on Burrow, aka Gigolo.
Man, Gigolo. Nigga still calling himself Gigolo 2023.
I tried to ask him to define it before in the podcast, but I'm going to just say, you know, Gigolo, I mean, Burrow, we're going to go with Big Burrow today. You know, it was nice meeting you, sir, but you got to get the fuck on. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to still, you know, appreciate your music knowledge. If you got a couple recommendations from the 1980s, go ahead and holler at your boy. You know what I'm saying? We good. Other than that, nice knowing you. Nice meeting you. And tell somebody about the podcast, because we're going to be getting them. We're going to be lighting your ass up.
Yeah, you ain't stopped nothing, nigga. It's called having a machine. You ain't stopped the machine, nigga. You a spoke on the wheel. You get in the machine like the machine will run you over with your weak ass. I don't know how many followers you got, but you ain't going to grow because you don't want to adapt and change to modern technology, nigga. You still on a Nokia, nigga.
Oh, and I do want to toss in there, like, not to pile on, because he goddamn squashed his ass. But, you know, he keeps throwing out this narrative about the Gossip Girls. And he said on it on Instagram, Krishan Rock, Blueface, Sexy Red, or whatever TD Jake said about Diddy. We're going about to get into that. It's not nostalgic. I refuse to do content on any platform talking about TMZ shit. Fuck out of here. Gossip Girl motherfuckers. Get off Joe Budden. We don't understand that. We're just talking nostalgic topics around here. And I'll just say that we never talked about Krishan Rock, Blueface, or Sexy Red. Specifically, so he's just like mistaken about that, and I think you should just think about that in your brain, bro. That you kind of seeing things differently from reality. You know what I'm saying? If you hear this, just realize, man, that what you said don't link up.
That,
you
know, nigga had so, six people. He had six people in his classroom, bro.
Come on, so, man. Let me just throw this out here. Just like I want to say this, like to Lee Boy's point. Like I said, I respect like his rap knowledge and whatnot. He's definitely
I don't respect shit. That nigga, go get a job, nigga. Go get a fucking job, you bum ass nigga. You ain't got no money.
Do that too. I will say this. From a business standpoint, he ain't. Nah, I ain't gonna lie. It just wasn't fitting. Like I said, to Lee Boy's point, it just seemed like things just wasn't, in my opinion, somewhat based in the reality that I was seeing. And that's why I was like, certain things he was speaking, I was like, I can't even say if I agree this week. I truly, I was lost with the tangent. I was lost with everything that happened because I'm like, bro, 24 hours ago, it seemed like everything was smooth. And then next thing I know, and I didn't even know about this post. That's why I'm like, where the hell are you reading this from? That's why I'm like, what?
Yeah, I mean, so like, you know, things might come up in the context of, you know, if we talking about, so just so everybody can see what it looked like. Well, you may not see this, but I just showed them the post right now.
Patreon
will see it. But you know, we may talk about Krishan and Blueface in the context of Will and Jada and like the most toxic couples of in hip hop history, right? But it's all and within the nostalgia realm, there's a way to tie in nostalgia. So people that are here to listen to what we have to talk about, understand that we're going to talk about current events that involve people from nostalgic times. Somehow that just got past Burrow. It just never really quite clicked. And he just kept saying, you know, we just kept telling him we changing the format. And, you know, he want to talk about the nigga's slow.
He don't have a creative bone in his body. Every time I say what you got, he want to do a top five, a top 10 list. You uncreative ass nigga. Go get a job. You don't got enough money to go back and forth with me, bro. I swear to God you don't, bro. And I hate to talk that big boy talk. Talking about you talk big boy talk, nigga, because I am, nigga. What are you talking about? I don't live with my mama, bro. I ain't living with my mama. I'm 17 years old. I'm 30 years old, dog. Fight with somebody in your weight class, bro. Go fight and go. You in your room playing with your toys. Nigga, little old nigga, fuck you.
All right, bro. And that's crawl out the grave and give us a response, man, so we can get back on that ass.
That's a mic drop. Yes, bro pulled out the water on that one. Like I said, I respect it because at the end of the day, it really felt like it came from left field. Like, just imagine you playing, you know, watching a baseball game and out of nowhere, football. You know, it's just one of those type of ideas.
Boats come flying out.
Chomp Burrow _ Gigolo. Nigga, what?
Fuck's down.
Man, what's your IG? Man, follow me on IG _Gigolo. Nigga, what? You telling bitches that? You getting ass with that, my nigga? You get some box with that? Man, you don't you ever in your life think you can talk to me like that again, nigga? Ever in your life, little old nigga. Little old nigga, take off that hat.
Oh man,
fuck out of here, nigga. I'm gonna show you why I'm me and you not, nigga. Fuck out of here.
On our way to tell somebody we out here, man.
Man, we almost had a million followers. I don't know that, bro. I hate when niggas make the bad side come out of you. I've been so good to that nigga, bro. Look how he repaid me, bro.
Before we get off it, you know, coming on the podcast, I had some concerns about Charlie Burrow. You know, it's always love. He makes good content, but I had some concerns about him. He has good ideas, and he has a good wealth of knowledge. I'll say that. But I did have some concerns about him. I think he felt it. And, you know, I'll say that Jamar always had his back, always bigged him up, always gave him a chance, always gave him an opportunity. And we never even had that conversation fully because it out of respect for Tri Burrow. So I just, you know, once again, if he's listening to this, you're not really clicking with reality, bro. You're not, it's not matching up. So
he's stuck at 85. You know.
Yeah, so just get that in check, get your shit together, bro, and come back correct, man.
Go cry to Vlad in 10 years, nigga. We glad you got out of the way. Now we really about to start flowing. And
pick up some DJing or something, man. Like,
no,
you know,
go get a job, bro.
Do that, bro.
Get a job, nigga. Get leave that room.
Oh,
leave that house, nigga. Fuck you, son. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. What's the first topic, man?
I mean, speaking of punching, allegedly, TD Jakes in the Diddy rumors.
Oh, wait, who punching?
Speaking of punching,
somebody taking punches.
Well, they saying that T.D. Jakes allegedly, obviously, had been at some of these sex parties and whatnot, business meetings, ditties, and if that's the case, then there may be a case where he was pitching, swinging. I don't know how it works in that community. However, with that being said, he addressed the rumors during the church sermon and pretty much said he's not going to put too much into it. He feels like God knows, his heart knows, you know, what went down, and he doesn't feel the need to pretty much address such salacious rumors. So, fellas, one, what do you think of him even addressing it on the pulpit? What's your take? Do you think he's guilty? Talk to me.
I want to ask y'all something. It seems like since the Caddy, since the Cassie and Diddy thing, it's like everybody's on a tantrum.
That's Caddy. No, that's Caddy. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why everybody's like picking people? I'm noticing black men to expose. What's going on? Like, who TD Jakes pissed off? Why TD Jakes? What's going on? Where did this even come from?
Oh, I seen Jaguar. Did you see Jaguar write her interview?
Oh, You know what's crazy? My brother live in Dallas. So when I go to Dallas, I go to a certain barber shop, and we had the same barber when I go to that Jaguar White.
Wow, Jaguar, yeah. So Jaguar White, and Maze addressed it too.
As well,
But you say outside of Maze and Jaguar White bringing this up, you think there's a bigger agenda behind it?
Hell yeah. Fuck yeah, that Diddy situation opened the floodgate. Well, to me, it all started with Will Smith. That's where it all started with. Because if Will Smith, I feel like Will Smith's so big, bro. If people feel it's a chink in his armor, if we can get a chink in his armor, nobody else can stand a chance. Because you got the Jamie Foxx's, the TD Jakes. Where does this come from, bro? Like, how does it, like,
just all at the same time, and it's like, what are the odds that all of these victims at the same time for these random powerful men decided, hey, right. Now, because
the whole thing with the NYC, the New York Survivors Act, we talked about that. I mean, it just seems like there's a war on the black man right now. They getting this back for goddamn George Floyd, what we did during the pandemic, all this. We was up. It was the diversity and exclusion and inclusion and all that. The DEI initiatives was booming, bruh. They taking all that shit back, and they giving us a couple extra lashings. But now, as far as this, bro, I mean, I think I was just bothered by his uppity nature to not have to, I don't have to address this. You know what I'm saying? Like, even though people saw me, you saw me at the Diddy parties, you know, was y'all holding church? Was y'all having a prayer circle? Like, you know, my girl wouldn't even let me go to a Diddy party. What you doing at a Diddy party, Mr. Jakes? And now, he's not the one that actually had all the gay rumors and the young sex partner, right? That was that Creflo Dollar? Was there?
I think so. Yeah.
Was the Creflo? They are easily, I wouldn't say interchangeable, but like you could mistake one for the other. I think you got to address this, sir. Get your name off this list. That's what I would say. Address it right away. But It just looked shady for him to be hanging around Diddy at all. I mean, Diddy looks good having him around because it shows like, oh, maybe he does have a good side. But for you to be hanging around Diddy, it just shows that you have a devious side.
He a celebrity, man. Would it be fair outside of Louis Farrakhan? Is he the most famous spiritual person outside of Louis Farrakhan?
I think that's where the biggest issue lies to Lee Boy's point. Because, like, yeah, what exactly are you doing at Diddy's home? And it's not even a matter of, oh, yeah, Rich. It's like, what are you doing at these parties, per se, right? Because, when you hear the rumors and the allegations of God knows what he may or may not have been doing at these places, like, all right, TD Jakes, especially you being an older statesman, it's like, people looking at it like you should have known better. So to me, I ain't gonna lie. I feel like it was definitely a strange position to place yourself in. I'm happy he didn't give too much energy to it on the pulpit, because to me, it makes you look guilty the more you talk, i.e. a Caesar Pena, DJ Envy situation. Shout out to them. Yeah, man, it was wild.
I didn't visit TDJ's church before. It was lit. That motherfucker big. That motherfucker huge, bro.
Is he in Atlanta or he's in Texas?
He's in Dallas. He's based out of Dallas.
Oh, I should have went out there.
Most of these mega churches in Dallas. Not Dallas, Texas in general.
Joel Osteen is in Houston.
Right. Man. I was about to say, Joel, he caught a lot of heat for not letting nobody in during the pandemic.
Yeah, bro.
Where was Creflo at, though? How did Creflo get the last name, Dollar? That's a crazy ass name. Creflo's pimping out here.
That paper. Go ahead.
Bro, even when T.D. Jakes was in Tyler Perry movie, it kind of still made sense because the type of movies Tyler Perry made. But I'm with Lee Boy on that. What you doing at a Diddy party, bro? I understand if Kirk Franklin was throwing a party, but you know what I'm saying?
Lately,
Billy rocking and whatnot, the gospel. I need to talk to Kirk. He talking about he making music butt naked on the Shannon Sharp podcast.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you see that?
He said nothing but cheap. I said, wait a minute. Yeah, you making the nakedness? Like, what is going on?
What's going on at these parties? But even, you know, even if he was at a Jay-Z party, you would say, okay, it's legitimate business possibly happened. You trying to get a deal with Beyonce. She's gospel. You know what I'm saying? And we don't know what Jay-Z is. He might, you know, he dibble and dabble. But he ain't do it. We ain't heard the Diddy rumors. And we've been hearing about this from Diddy for years. Like, it's not like it just came out. And for him to be associated with that is just it. It's crazy. Now, is it true, though? Do you guys believe the Jaguar rights? Do you guys believe the Masons? Did y'all see what they said?
I believe half of what she say, bro. I don't believe everything she say. I think sometimes she be being a little extra just to perform.
She said it ain't nothing but money.
That's the problem, right? When you do sex. That for me, your credibility is so shot that even when I watch everything, it's like, man, you know when people be like, man, take this with a grain of salt. It's like, which grain? That's how I be feeling.
which grain?
But Mace, compared to Mace, where's the credibility? Who's winning on the credibility meter with Mace and Diddy?
And even that's hard too, Lee Boy, because to your point, right, Mace has, I'm not saying he's a liar, but it's like Mace, like some people would look at Mace and go, oh, you have a reason not to say good things about this guy because X, Y, Z.
Oh, you're talking about with Puff and Mace.
Anything when it comes to that.
Yeah, like who do you believe more, Puff or Mace? Well, Puff hasn't said nothing. Mace just came out and was just like, what did he say? He just said that their relationship was strange. They've been strange for years. Did he say, I don't think he actually insinuated that they were having sex. Who said that they were together? Because I didn't see that from Jaguar right now that I think about it, or Mace. They just said that they hung out. Their relationship was weird. There was no reason for them to really be together. But who actually said that Creflo was hitting Diddy or vice versa? I mean, who's versing? I don't know. Who's vicing? Who's verse?
Who's vicing? Who's verse?
That's why I just call it pitching and swinging. You know what I mean? That's weird.
Yeah, I don't know, but it just seems, now that part just seems like it's just too salacious of a rumor.
I don't want my past to partying with Diddy. I'll tell you that.
Man, I don't want to party with my pastor, bro.
My pastor partying at all, but I definitely don't want to hear that my pastor is partying with celebrities. I'm gonna be honest with you.
But Matt, the pastor is a celebrity.
Right, why are you partying, period? But even more so, if you are partying, why are you not partying low-key? Because at least this is one of them things where what you don't know doesn't hurt you. If I don't know my pastor's partying, cool. But now I know you partying with these celebrities, and you now in the vlogs, and now they saying you getting pumped and bumped and whatnot. It's a lot. Now, do I come to church Sunday? Do I pay my tithes? There's a lot of questions I have.
I ain't paying tithes to that. Yeah, I could not. Yeah.
I will say this, though, man. I will say this, and it's kind of breaking news, man. If the Illuminati called me to sacrifice somebody, I definitely would throw Charles Burrow in us.
Sacrifice? Oh, yeah, to get to the next level?
Oh, yeah, man. Hey, he ain't hard to find. He's somewhere.
Gigolo. Oh, yeah, the gigolo.
He's somewhere in this room in Brooklyn playing with some toys.
That's all the reason, bro. He's already looking mad down face. That demonic path with the gigolo moniker. No, I'm playing.
But, oh, yeah, man. Two for one. Him, one of my siblings and him. Oh yeah, we man, we bro.
And a sibling, damn.
A sibling. What type of what? Bro said like it was an
extra anybody listen to this podcast is all entertainment purposes. I'm not serious, or am I? Who knows?
God damn. But
man, on that note, fellas, we're gonna switch gears here because what Dame Dash, obviously always a popular figure, big fan favorite here on 80s, 90s, 2000s vibe. Really hope you're listening, Dame. But he said he's taking back Rockefeller. He said he doesn't care. He said pretty much people know what it is. He said he has the power, pretty much the influence. Fellas, obviously, we all know about disdain and whatnot that he's had with Jay-Z, not wanting to speak on him in interviews. One, do you feel like Dame Dash has the power to take Rockefeller back to prominence? And two, what do you feel about this statement? Like, what's your take?
Well, he said that he owns Rockefeller, what, Inc.?
Inc., yeah.
Yeah,
Inc.
and Inc. there's a difference Inc. between that and the LLC. So, right. I mean, what I really came from this is just, you know, just another confirmation that Jay-Z plays dirty behind closed doors. He's just... He's making these moves to look to try to devalue Rockefeller so Dame Dash doesn't, you know, wield the sword that he actually owns. And it's just unfortunate that they can't get on one accord in some way and just work together.
Matt Lee boy, let me ask you why you think they can't, even if they don't not friends no more, why you think they can't get on the same page and just...
Yeah, why can't they just manage Rockefeller, the ownership of it, the entity?
I think one of the biggest things is the viewpoint, right? So we all heard even like months back when Dame Dash was talking about like how pretty much his money's all out there in different projects, but like he may not have Jay-Z's nowhere near in that stratosphere to my knowledge. And I think that's a big part of it. Like they don't necessarily even hang out in the same circles per se. Like it's like they know a lot of the same people, but we all know too, because I'm a big Dame Dash fan, but I know a lot of different people in the industry, they may have had a different issue with Dame versus this, that, and the third. And I'm sure Jay-Z too, but just for that reason alone, I just think that's really the biggest thing is that they're walking in different circles. They just in such different parts of life that they may not even be willing to have that conversation.
I'm team Dame Dash all day. I mean, Jay-Z, one of my favorite rappers, you know what I'm saying? And that's cool, but I'm team Dame Dash. Whatever Dame want to do, I'm going to support.
Nah, 100%. Shout out to American New.
Yeah, and this is, you know, you got to separate the artist sometimes from the man. And Jay-Z, there's hardly anything to question about his artistry. I wouldn't question him as a businessman either, a ruthless businessman, but as a homie, as a friend, I don't know. Like, you might feel some type of way if you knew Jay-Z in the past, if you was a Jazzo or a Beanie Siegel or anybody that he seems like he was close with, like Dame, you know what I'm saying? I'm not sure that I would have favorable words about him if I knew him in the past, right? And felt like
I think Dame would love to put on some gloves and catch a fair one with Jay for about 10 minutes.
I would pay to watch that. I'm not gonna lie.
Facts. And my money on Dame.
I got money probably on Jay. He got that
I told
reach.
Dame Dash though, because I think ain't Jay-Z about 6 foot.
Yeah, Jay-Z got some reach Jay-Z on him.
They about the same height. It's gonna be an interesting fight. I don't think Dame is like 5'7", 5'6". I feel like he about 5'10", at least.
Yeah, it could be interesting. It could be interesting.
I hope he bring Rockefeller back. I'm with
you. You gotta have Don King promote the fight.
Yeah, and as far as Rockefeller coming back, I would love to see that, see some Rockefeller films. I know Dame Dash has his own thing going on now, but like what they've already created and solidified in the film industry, obviously music industry, the clothing industry, I think it's a brand that should live on Forever 21 or something, you know what I'm saying? Some regular shit. But
he always had an eye for fashion. That's all I was going to say. I definitely think the brand could definitely do something, you know, moving forward.
Yeah, Rockefeller jackets and Forever 21 for $24? Let's go.
He the reason why we say pause.
Exactly. Right. He should come out with the pause movie, the pause show, and sue Mason Cam all in for that.
You got a little segment, man. Hit me up, man. I'm the perfect guy for it.
Yeah. You've been killing. Hey, speaking of, you killed him this past week and the last couple weeks actually with your series. So congratulations, my brother. Some very pause worthy moments. On did he say he was like brother, that took me out, bro?
Talking about how did we miss this, y'all? If you haven't checked in on 80s, 90s, 2005 on Instagram, but yeah, appreciate y'all. We almost had 250,000 on the first three episodes, so super appreciate.
Hey. And then it's when he said it's like bro, we like bro. It's like what made it worse is Usher came behind him.
We was like brother. You hit that ad-lib, huh? You was hitting the ad-lib with that one. God.
Yo, bro. That's
a wild line. Wild. Like, I think I used to rap that shit, too. I thought it was Loon, though. That nigga was still a Loon flow.
I thought it was Loon.
Well, he probably that's the only reason why. He wrote it. He probably wrote
for
it.
For sure, though. That was Loon in the for sure. But nah, man, Dame Dash, you know, if he has any right to Rockefeller, any claim like he says he does, like he claims he has, he needs to exploit that. I would definitely support it. And he's deserving of that because a lot of it was his vision and his, I believe, artist management that got them to where they were, including what he did with Jay-Z, making them look like a star. I think he deserves it.
Nobody wanted to sign Jay-Z, bro. They had to make their own label. Bro. That shit crazy.
Remember, Dame had Original Flav and other groups at the time, so he was just kind of proving, really, you know, flexing his muscle, showing I could do this with a bunch of groups and really have y'all prominent. So shout out to Dame Dash.
Yeah, for real. Throw them diamonds up, man.
Already know. But fellas, moving on, just throwing out there, number one, The Color Purple. They had come out with a new rendition over Christmas. A lot of people, family movie, great thing, but there was some controversy surrounding it concerning Oprah, Taraji P. Henson, and 50 Cent. So let me tell y'all how they all go in, and I want y'all takes. So you got Oprah, who some people was pretty much scrutinizing because Taraji P. Henson and Fantasia were ready to walk away from the movie because they weren't getting paid enough. People was looking like, Oprah, you supposed to be, you know, advocating for these young Black women and whatnot. And then you got Taraji P. Henson, who says she had fired her entire team following Empire due to them pretty much not capitalizing on her character, and 50 Cent wanting to come in and hire her possibly. And obviously, 50 Cent back to the Oprah. We all know the hate there. So, number one, fellas, do you feel like Oprah should have done more? Do you feel like there was a beef? Because obviously, you know, they were politically correct and came out and denied it. But, and then two, what do y'all think about 50 Cent possibly having Taraji and some stuff? And do you feel like she underpaid? Do you feel like it's her fault? Talk to me. What y'all think?
Anybody know how much Fantasia were making for the movie? Anybody know that?
I'm going to look it up if you want to get started real quick.
I don't know, bro. Taraji, y'all think Taraji broke?
No, I just think she's been underpaid probably for a lot of movies. Like even Terrence Howard saying he got 12 G's for like a movie that I forget how much it did at the box office.
Do y'all consider Taraji P. Henson a legend?
Yeah. Yes, I believe so. Yeah. I don't think
it's legendary films.
I don't think she's gonna ever. Because of her aesthetic, like she's a beautiful woman. I don't think she's that that model of perfection that they would give to like Halle Berry, and because of that, because she's always gonna be the angry, the single mom, the angry mom, the hard to do woman, hard working woman in movies, and she's just not gonna get that next level star status that like a Halle Berry or that someone else would get because of how she's typecasted, I believe. But she's as far as her acting ability, she will kill Halle Berry. You know what I'm saying? An act off.
What's that movie? She one of my favorite. Taraji one of my favorite actresses. What's that
That's
movie?
What I'm saying.
With her Janelle Monáe, and it was the black ladies working for NASA.
Hidden
back
Figures.
In the day. You ever seen? Yeah,
Hidden
bro.
Figures.
She killed. Before you get into it,
I want to say I think she got 150K, and this is just a Google search.
God, that's it.
That's what it says, and that sound like you know.
She don't get nothing on the back end from the box office, nothing like that.
She was offered 100K, so but ultimately agreed on 150K, all while the film's budget stood at 150 million. That is 3 days ago. Not an excellent source, but if that is even close to what it actually is, you know what I'm saying? Like Jim Carrey was making 20 million in the mid 90s. Like not saying she should be getting that, but you should be able to capitalize off these movies more to get them more than 150K.
That's disrespectful, man. And then Color Purple, a class, 150K just flat.
Yeah, that's insane. If that's the case. Yeah, like you said, especially with a budget like that for the movie, that means y'all had the wiggle room to pay well.
I'm walking off this shit, bro. Yeah, fam.
But I'm trying to find a different source.
Allegedly. This all alleged.
Yeah.
I'm not pocket watching, but Taraji P. Henson should be at least making a couple mil a film. For sure.
And that is also on Us Weekly, Us Magazine.
That's crazy. I'll take the 150K, but I ain't Taraji P. Henson.
I was going to say, way different for Us versus her at this stage in her career. Like you said, we don't consider her a legend, if I'm not mistaken. So.
Yeah.
Nah, man, this is disrespectful, bro. This is this is the real numbers right here. She and she's been going through this for a long time. She's been carrying movies. She was in the goddamn Benjamin Button movie. She was in the goddamn Baby Boy. I mean, she is a classic actress as far as her skills, the how much work she's put. What she did with Cookie Lion, like she should be set. They should have been able to set her up for goddamn near life. Like on Friends, they was getting a million an episode. On Seinfeld, it was getting millions episodes. You don't think they had millions of eyes on the on this TV show, Empire? That's just this is crazy. She has a huge draw, in, especially in the Black community. Color Purple already set records, I believe, for a Christmas Day debut, right? I think over the last 25 years, as far as maybe a drama or something, obviously something specific, but there was some records broken. I would say off the back of her and her acting ability, when you look at the cast and obviously Oprah and her lending her, you know, producing efforts to it, but it's just disrespect. She should be getting, as a leading actress, she should be getting at least a million per feature film. Like, right. I don't think that's a lot to ask. Like, this film is going to be making money for years and years and years and years. Like the next 20 to 30 years, there will be some residual income from this. And for her not to get at least a million up front, I believe will it will lead to the ultimate destruction of the whole industry, because these people just got to keep doing more and more movies. So they get more and more diluted. They're not putting anything into the marketing and promotion because they like, fuck these people, only pay me $150,000. I got to get back to work and I'm working on the next project. So I think it all, you know, it's a big cycle that will eventually just, you know, kill the profitability.
You know who the younger version of her? To me, Keke Palmer. I feel like Keke Palmer has fit that void, like, and Taraji P. Henson is still her, but I'm just saying, Keke is like the younger version of everybody love her, you know what I'm saying, she can act, sing, dance, you know, all that stuff, bro, 150,000 total, no back end, no box office.
I hope that's not true.
That's pretty much just paying for their time to actually work on the movie, you know what I mean, when you think about that.
Yeah. I ain't promoting shit either.
Nah, not at all.
Especially on the promo run. Go ahead, Matt.
No, I was just saying, like you said, I don't got no lunch boxes. I don't have no merch. I don't have nothing. Like, what's my incentive?
And look, that's what struck me as so odd on this promo run, is that she's talking about not getting paid, with basically Oprah's not next to her, but she's basically next to her. And she's talking about how she's undervalued as a Black woman. What the hell? Like, what universe are we in, bro? What is going on, Miss Oprah? And then for 50 Cent, a Black man who they probably hate. You know what I'm saying? Did she hate Taraji? For sure hate 50 Cent. He's very misogynistic in the eyes of, you know, this community, the Black women community and the people that support them. You know, not that there should be a divide, but 50% is definitely on the outside. For him to come to have to save the day, the way he did with Monique too, trying to offer them jobs. I mean, 50's a savior.
He perfect. Monique is doing a thing and being a shout out to
her. Well, Monique been saying this for years and people been ignoring her.
Sadly. Nah, yeah, definitely. You know what it is? It's easy to ignore her when things are comfortable for you. You know, we always talk about this a lot.
Right, right.
They're not willing to shake up their ship, even for the betterment of a lot of people, because they look like, man, my boat is good. I mean, like, that's on you. That's a personal problem until it's not.
That's Black people's problem. That's the selfishness.
But like 50 Cent gonna be a billionaire, man, because he realizes the market that's out there. For when Empire and goddamn Power was both on, all the eyes that were on it, he's saying, look, I could get all these eyes together on one project, bring Cookie Lion over here to Power, and he's definitely the person that sees the bigger picture. I mean, it's just unfortunate where we still are. Like Taraji P. Henson should be producing her own. She should be a producer on every project she's on, right. And she should be getting paid additional back end money for giving her services to these films that are lackluster. Especially, come on, Color. I ain't even gonna get on the Color Purple. There's no reason. Nah, but we don't need a sequel. I don't think we need a remake.
Right. I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna go watch it.
I'm gonna let y'all know.
Trust me.
I'm gonna watch it. I wish I would have watched it before today. I think my mom went to go see it, but you know, Taraji is like the only reason that this is even redeeming at all. And maybe, you know, Fantasia, I guess. I don't want to see her really acting enough like that.
Who was Fantasia playing? Seeley?
Like, I don't even know. Like
I said, I may look into it. I probably want to be happy.
Bro, I seen a meme on social media that bitch said, man, one day I just missed the episode of Empire and never went back.
Nah, for real. For some
people, that's facts. I used to watch that shit every week, bro. I just missed one episode and I switched the
I respect what it did in TV. Like I said, I know a lot of people watched. I personally wasn't my thing, but that doesn't matter. There's a lot of shows wasn't my thing. Friends wasn't my thing. People watched it.
Right. I switched the power, bro. Can y'all imagine Cookie in the Power Universe, man?
Not at all.
Why? You can't. Come on, bro.
You can be a boss somewhere.
You know what? I lied. I can't imagine it. I won't. Yes.
So, all right. Let me ask y'all. Do y'all watch Power? Are y'all fans of Power?
I watched the first 5 seasons. I didn't watch any of the spinoffs, though.
So. Oh, the spinoffs is good. But, okay. Hypothetically, what series could you see Taraji in? Is it Raising Kanan? Is it Ghost? Is it a Power? If you could put her in any one of the series, it
probably is. I'm with Lakeisha, that character, something like that.
Lakeisha. Lala. I can see her as one of the teachers at Stansfield in Ghost.
Oh, that would have been interesting too. That would have been very interesting.
She would kill that. Taraji would kill that.
If that's the case though, just knowing her personality and all this other stuff, I just couldn't have seen her getting killed the way she did. I couldn't have seen her getting bullied by Mary J. Blige.
I feel you. Yeah, you're right. You're right about it. Hey, Taraji, we rooting for you, man. We really are. Please. We rooting for you, for real.
But, fellas, I'm happy because, Lee Boy, you said something interesting about 50 Cent. How you were saying, you know, pretty much he could be on the path to a billionaire. And that's a great segue because you got G-Unit Films down there now in Shreveport, Louisiana. And people were raising the question of, do you think G-Unit Films has the potential and will it ever reach the level of Tyler Perry Studios? And, you know, a lot of people saying it's a big move, prominent. Obviously, we know he got, I believe, like 8 or 9 figures, I believe, from Stars. So, big deals on the rise of him. So, fellas, what y'all thinking?
Oh, can he reach Tyler Perry? Well, Tyler Perry's still moving. He's still going up. That's the thing. He's going to have to catch up. And he got all that.
How younger is he, though? Because 50 has, you know what I mean? 50's much younger than he is, too.
I mean, he could get to the level, I think, that Tyler Perry Studios is now, for sure. I mean, the only thing that he has a huge advantage of is, you know, Tyler Perry. He literally puts the pen to the pad on a lot of those shows. And right. So he has the ability to crank them out in-house. But a lot of people also say that is the detriment to his company as well, is that everything is kind of the same pattern, same writing style, and that he, you know, his imprint is a little bit too much on his content. But I think 50 Cent, if anybody's going to do it, I see Kevin Hart possibly doing it. You know, I can see definitely, actually 50 Cent is ahead of him when it comes to obviously TV production. And there's not really much competition out there that you could say is going to be the next Tyler Perry. So, if anybody could do it, 50 can.
I think he will and he can, but it's gonna be harder for him. Only because a lot of people don't like 50, bro. It's that simple. And to me, that's very
a lot of people in Tyler Perry's age range don't really care for him either. You'd be surprised.
But, but you're right, bro. But 50 bullies people.
Fair enough.
Like publicly and behind the scenes. So even though that's immature to me, because I really don't give a fuck how I personally feel about somebody, if they can get the job done, I think you should always go with that. Just, you know what I'm saying? Y'all ain't got to be friends. But just because people don't like 50, man, 50 got beef with people, I think it'll be hard for him, even though I think he is going to do it. And
because he understands the market, though. He doesn't even need to have you know, his own network. He could just put out independent films. I think he could do something similar, or even have his own streaming service in the future. Hopefully he owns all his IP, because I could definitely see him taking advantage of all the powers and then all the movies that he's going to be doing in the future that he's produced and have them on a streaming service. I think that would only make sense. Man, I had another point, but I forgot it.
No, I was just saying, it'd be like that.
Yeah, to move, because like I said, 50 Cent, even when he had him like for life, you see he's rocking with a lot of different TV networks. And like I said, he has a partnership with Lionsgate, now having G-Unit Films ink his own thing. I noticed even after the show, it's, you know, 3 or 4 companies. Now when it gets dwindled down to 2, it's no telling where he's going to be, you know, network-wise, no telling the type of shows. Like, I know he has something about, like, the Flores Brothers. Like, his range is just, like, to your point, so much.
Isn't he working on a, isn't he working on the 8 Mile series?
No, and that's what I was going to say. His range, that's why, to me, I look at him like, yeah, Tyler Perry, you know what I mean? He's done what he's done. But in a sense, he's pigeonholed to a degree because we all know the content coming. It's like with 50 Cent, he never ceases to amaze us each year with the new series that's coming. Now I'm covering this. Like, I feel like he's going to cover some scientists that we've never heard of, and he's going to make it popular in the Black community.
Right, yeah. What he did with the surviving Diddy and also, you know, the rappers that were getting that were passed away, that were getting killed and murdered, and did that documentary style, I think that was, you know, somewhat impressive and something that he could, that's just a whole nother umbrella that he could definitely open up. So I agree with you. And what I forgot, and what I was going to bring up earlier, because Jamar was talking about how he just rubs people the wrong way or gets on the wrong side of beef sometimes. You know, he killing Madonna publicly. Like, you could just honestly be a Madonna fan and be like, cancel this. Like, if he go need some help or want to buy a network or get a deal from somebody that just like Madonna, like, he'll go in on anybody. So I just think he's that is interesting.
Madonna does look like dough that hasn't risen.
Why he doing that to Madonna, though? That's 50, wild.
And nigga 50 say, how old is she? Like, 62? Big boy, because you know he go to Big Boy and do it, and he was like, when I seen her under the bed, he was like, grandma, get from under the bed, grandma, like, dog, come on, you can't be a virgin all your life, like, he was, and it's always a method behind 50, man, because he broke it down and explained it. He was like, look, man, I had to adjust, like, you can't be no sex symbol, like, you can't, bitch, you 62. That's right. Pretty much what he was saying, bro. It just, he said it in his own way, bro. That's,
I respect
all
it, though, because, yeah, she got it. Yeah.
I'm just saying, Madonna could be a divide. Somebody could be mad at that. Just saying, I think you might want to. He ain't backing off. It don't matter what the fuck I say.
Nah. Speaking of symbols, though, fellas, R. Kelly. Some people said he was the symbol of love and R&B and a lot of other things for some years. Just wanted to raise the question. Do you think his music will ever be, like, accepted publicly where, you know what I mean, you can go to the park, play, and everybody nod and sing along, or you think this is a forever thing? Fellas, what's your take?
I get surprised when I see people just bumping Kells. Like, I be at parties. Some people don't give a damn. Some people don't give a damn. I've been at, you know, little family functions. It's supposed to be like a 16-year-old birthday party. I believe at my niece's birthday party. That Step in the Name of Love came out. I'm like, y'all know the history? It's like, in 16-year-olds? Nah, they don't even, you know, it's not even hitting. It's not even hitting certain groups. They don't even recognize the whole R. Kelly band. But not in public, I don't think that he will ever get a national commercial, you know, any type of,
even after he dies,
or obviously not him, but I'm just saying, not even his music, I don't think will ever grace a large audience the way that it could have, or the way that it did in certain. He's never going to be on a big soundtrack. He's never going to, you know, do any of those things that he should be doing. But as far as independent streams, I don't think he can be canceled ever.
But that's fair, bro. But even after he dies, all I'm saying is, if that's the case, I accept it. I received it. But do the same to Elvis. That's all I'm saying.
Man, no, that's a fact. But I will say this, dude, I think the issue with R. Kelly is that, depending on how long he, you know, spends in jail, if he dies in prison, that's going to really hurt him even more, because in people's eyes, they're going to feel like you never had a chance. You know, America, they love a redemption story. So they're going to feel like, well, you never had a chance to redeem yourself because you never came out. So you was just a monster. But to your point, no, Elvis, and there's a few other sick bastards out there. Well, I shouldn't say a few. There's a lot. There's like thousands, actually, over history that we just accepted. And yeah, nobody said nothing.
I would love for us to do a Patreon episode on R. Kelly and parents. man, because I got some shit to say about them parents, man. Y'all, some of y'all parents, them parents who pimp their kids to R. Kelly, man, y'all need to be exposed. We bringing up old shit, let's bring up all the old shit. Man. You see, you know what I'm saying? Nah, bro. But we'll talk about it on Patreon at some point.
I was there. Everything was cool when y'all was getting autographs and he gave you a rag with his sweat.
Mm-hmm. McDonald's and all that shit.
Yeah, he told me to take you to Africa probably. You know what I mean? Yeah, R. Kelly, he was...
And wasn't he buying sneakers? He was buying yours, wasn't he?
He was doing a lot.
And sky blue Jordans. You
when he had ready on to the go. Mask of the burglar with the hamburglar from McDonald's, when he had that on with the hat, I knew he was on Demon Time.
Oh, you talking about with the belt buckle with the tongue and
little Zorro? Like, what are we doing?
Now he was Zorro, right? That's what he was trying. That's what he's pulling
stay
off,
away
right?
From my family. We not stay away from my family.
We don't. Bro, but hey, Aaliyah's first album, a classic, but it's kind of hard to listen to because you can hear R. Kelly all throughout the album. Like,
it seems like you're ready.
No. Yeah, like, he wrote that shit for that 14-year-old girl. Man, you sick ass nigga. You jam, but you yeah, bro.
But, yeah, obviously age ain't nothing but a number and all that. But no, I think, you know what, the music that he wrote, though, will continue to live on because we don't have that big of a moral high ground to stand on against R. Kelly. It's not that we hate him. It's just that it would look inappropriate in that people are so brand conscious that they would never put his music on something that's actually worth some, I don't think. But hey, if Michael Jackson singing it or B2K or Aaliyah, fair game.
Yeah, because he wrote a lot of hits, too.
Mm-hmm. Some MJ hits. They never got rid of MJ, no matter what. They ain't getting rid of MJ, so you could just say,
y'all might as well give up on that. Michael Jackson ain't going nowhere.
Now look, if MJ had braids and would have kept his dark skin, they would have got rid of it.
That's facts.
That's like, oh, he bleaching. He good. He good.
Yeah, he good, man.
Got that bit of LIGO. His goddamn jeans is to tamper with. His jeans ain't strong. We can let him go.
He got them, but I will say this, I just feel like at some point, like we always say, you know, separating the music from the art. I feel like if we ever are gonna get on this stance, then we just gotta be consistent with it. Cause there's a lot of artists out there, whether we know, whether we care to know, whether we bring it up. Cause it's like one of them things I feel like even with R. Kelly for years, I feel like even till this all really hit the fan. Yeah, most people that's older than all of us on this podcast. Knew, you know what I mean? They still stepping in the name of love, but they didn't care. They knew chocolate dropped or whatever.
I will say this: I left R. Kelly on our official playlist on Apple Music and Spotify. I ain't got no complaints about it.
Of course you didn't, because they still nobody got it.
I will bang. Step in the name of love. Also, was the ignition. Key to the ignition. What's that one?
Remix. Yeah.
Yeah, the remix. Yeah. I will drop that if necessary. I ain't got no problem.
I was way too young to be rapping that when I was talking about, let me give you that tutu and that beat.
Yeah.
You kidding me?
Ignition remix.
The nigga made a song called Feeling on Your Booty.
I did have that on repeat for quite a while. That shit was fire, bro. And then, I mean, to me and the shit with Jay-Z to this day, I'm still, that beat, that the bass line.
That whole Jay-Z album, I'm gonna be honest with you, Best of Both Worlds.
Best of Both Worlds. Best of. And then, don't forget, I mean, the In the Closet shit was crazy. But about three episodes, I was fucking with him.
He was sick. In the Closet, as entertaining as that was, I should have known this is a sick man. He is disturbed.
Mr. Tell me what is going on.
Amazing.
Mr. Biggs. I rock with the Isleys too, so that was
man, he used to stay fucking Mr. Biggs' chicks.
Yeah, I'm still listening to that one, bro. I'll still.
Yeah, man. Mr. Biggs should have had his ass knocked off, dog.
I said, shout out to the music, but like I said, to the man, the myth, the legend, what he did, like I said, I'm hoping, you know what I mean, and serve your time to those women and all of those people out there.
Yeah, I'm letting God deal with him.
Yeah. In due time, everybody gonna deal with it. But fellas, I want to move on to somebody that some people feel like should quote unquote be dealt with, and that's BG. Obviously, Hot Boys, big story. Now, this is interesting because I believe BG was given 14 years and served 11 of them, something like that. And now the story is coming out that one of BG's co-defendants, he snitched on him, saying that he testified even though they had an agreed upon deal in which he was going to testify on the guy, and the guy was gonna get a certain amount of time. When the guy realized he didn't get this amount of time, now he's coming back years later now saying that BG snitched. And some people saying, well, if he snitched, he did a bad job because he still snitched.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like,
However, one, fellas, what do y'all think? Do you think it's okay, quote unquote, as a gangster to take the stand if there's an agreed upon deal for you to take the stand?
No, bro, because gangsters, niggas not gangster for real. I'm not saying BG not gangster for real, but man, that gangster shit, that shit is starting to, man, that shit don't hold no weight as much as it used to no more. I know some gangster niggas with some old bitch ass ways.
Yeah, you know I mean, nowadays, I've never been in that life officially. Definitely not. Obviously, I know some people. I even got a homie that did. That's in jail for life right now. Shout out to the homie Ken. But yeah, I think it's just more important nowadays to do whatever is in your best interest, because you never know what the other person is going to do. And so if it's in your best interest, sometimes it could be, even if getting, it could be more years for you, the Bobby Shmurda route. It probably was in his best interest not to say anything, because he's going to have to be around those people. He wants to come out and he wants to live a good life. So you got to be able to weigh those options. Hey, if I tell, I get these 3 years and I could, if you could separate from your old lifestyle, I was like, go for it. If you can't separate, you might as well just, you know, bite the bullet. You know what I'm saying?
Well, so let me ask you then, in your opinion, is this snitching?
But so it, and so I don't know the particulars on BG, but it sounds like you think he got a lesser deal for taking the stand?
No, it wasn't. Yeah, basically he was saying that what was supposed to happen was the guy who he took the stand against was supposed to get time, but because he was out of town and they was telling him, you know, you're out of town, they ain't gonna give you a hard sentence for his first offense. Cool. When he realized, hey, I'm not getting the sentence that y'all told me, now that's when he was kind of trying to say, like, no, I didn't agree to none of this. This wasn't my gun, blah, blah, blah. So, like, do you think it was snitching, even though they say allegedly it was already agreed upon for him, for BG to take the stand to say blah, 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 blah?
Nah, I don't consider that snitching, if it's, especially if they both agreed upon it. And this is just trying to make the best of your situation and, you know, manipulate the courtroom. To me, like, I mean, we should be able to devise a plan and come up with an agreement. And, you know, but in the old sense, yeah, I mean, saying anything is snitching, right? That's what it used to be. Right, but I thought it was only if you throwing somebody under the bus they didn't know about. To me, that's snitching. If they both know we, you know, are both involved, I think we should figure this thing out and be like, look, I'm a cop to this, you cop to this, and we do it out. Now, if they only caught me and I bring you into it, that's, to me, the main ingredient in snitching that people don't talk about. It's like bringing somebody into it they didn't know nothing about to try to save your ass. Like, if they got us both, we might as well come up with some type of agreement. I mean, they already got both of us. So.
I just feel like it's hard because, bro, yeah, I feel like nobody's going to really believe that on the internet that you agreed with. I mean, you made a deal with somebody that you was going to snitch and testify. It just, to me, was always going to sound crazy. And then even the guy trying to come back on it, it's like, what you going to do now? Like, you already...
Yeah, it's already over, nigga. Hey, yeah, bro.
The judge, we lied to you, but he told me that it was a lie. That it didn't really work out. Let's lie again.
It's diet snitching, man. I guess
it's diet snitching.
Diet snitching. Hey, look, you can't do the time, don't do the crime, bro. I think that's the number one thing. Just be ready to take the time. Just be ready to take some time. Or, it, you know, if it's in your best interest, especially if you think they gonna snitch, fuck it. Just don't. Yeah, I ain't doing the crime.
Respect for the whole industry. And, you know, hopefully he got a response to these heinous allegations. Definitely want to hear his side.
But then BG also came back and said, what, y'all heard? Have y'all heard his music since he been out?
I have never been a BG fan.
All that whining and moaning and shit.
I've never been a BG fan. I would never be a BG fan. I can't do it. If anybody from the Hot Boys other than Wayne, I can listen to a Juvenile.
Because I don't even know, and I fuck with Turk too, but I don't know, if a solo Turk record right now is...
Oh, nah. And I'm not counting Manny Fresh because he the DJ.
Manny Fresh, I'm sure he owes somebody. He couldn't even pay his rent back in the day and was still rapping. So I don't know where he at.
Nah, but in the interest of this topic, though, I had to listen to the song with him, Kevin Gates, and Sexy Red. You ain't hear that one?
I like it. I'm a Kevin Gates fan. But
he got a song with Gates. It was his verse wasn't it. It sounded exactly the same as from before. So you could just imagine that on like a 2023 trap. But he's still slow and talking crazy. So it is what
he rapped like it's still 98, yeah. Bro. Like, he's bro, still, I'm not a BG fan. I'm not knocking nobody who is. I don't care. He's not my style of rapper at all. Like, at all.
Bro. All right, so the question is BG or Silk the Shocker? Who are you rocking with? You had to take one. Silk?
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of rocking with BG for like a minute. Like, you know, he got the clout. He got a couple beats. He had a little mini run. I don't know if you remember that. He had like a mini run where he had a couple singles.
The guy who managed Silk the Shocker. Shout out to DJ Jamie. Yeah. Him did a lot of work. Yeah. That's all I was like. Yeah.
I'm
going
to go with Silk. Wow. I'm not knocking nobody who's a BG fan. I was a Wayne and Juvenile fan. So I'm not a BG fan. I've never said one time in like put that BG on.
I don't think BG said that.
Nah, bro. Nah, but bro, where I'm from and New Orleans and the surrounding area, everybody love BG. I'm not knocking.
Is solo artist?
Yeah,
no, he has hella clout. Like he get out there. He everybody knows a BG, I think, and they click. Like, you know, a nigga that's just wild. Really, is not the most talented, but he could get out there because he represents the streets and people will respect him and let him get on stage because he know everybody. You know what I'm saying? He probably got a nice car and probably served some drugs. Hey, I wouldn't say he's corny
by any means. I don't want to put that
corny. So
like a top, yeah, he's not necessarily. Like I said, I've never heard nobody be like, yo, there ain't no BG.
His talent didn't get him in the High Boys, though. It wasn't his talent. It was his connections, I think.
Them as a group, shout out to Birdman, because that was genius to throw them out there. Because like I said, even with Turk, as much as I like Turk, I don't know if I want a solo record from Turk now, but he could change my mind. Like I said, Turk was spitting, like I said, on a few joints where it was like,
yeah, man, look, the cream, the niggas who are meant to become stars became stars.
It's plain to say.
Period. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to BG, out of jail, though.
According to BG, he about to have the biggest comeback of all time, ever.
Cap. So. Cap. You
said that.
Cap.
You said that, Jamal, since you saying Cap, fellas, I need y'all to take that. BG, that's in the future, possibly may have the biggest comeback. I say the same. I ain't buying it. But fellas, who has had the greatest comeback in hip-hop of all time?
Mace.
Mace? That's a good one.
Welcome back. Welcome.
That's the biggest song for sure, yeah. Hey, a couple of them first day out tracks, though, was crazy, too. Who had a crazy first day out? Gucci obviously had a crazy one.
T Grizzly is the best one.
How are we defining it as a comeback? Like, Mason's the first one I think about.
Somebody who either went to jail, came back out, and their career was either as hot or hotter, or somebody who, quote unquote, literally fell off and they reinvented themselves.
I think 2 Chainz is the perfect example of that.
Oh, that's facts. TD Boy to 2 Chainz, yeah.
I might have him as the biggest comeback was 2 Chainz.
All right, so let's do 2. Let's do somebody who reinvented themselves and then somebody who literally was hot and then came back.
Right, right. Because TD Boy wasn't really hot.
Right. So you said T.I., what you say for a comeback? Like after jail?
Yeah, because after Paper Trail, he went to jail.
Gucci was hot when he first came back.
I think Gucci had a holiday. Yeah, I think Gucci probably had the greatest comeback.
When he was with Migos and all that.
Mace was great, but I think when I'm just thinking musically, because when I look at Gucci's musical comeback, when I remember when Good Drink dropped with Quavo, there was a part of my brain that went, nah, not only is bro spitting, like, you really done came full circle from when you was blacking on Twitter, you know what I mean, saying that you was smoking, yeah, smashing Nicki Minaj and this, that, and the third, to you really back here spitting and you sound like a goat, like amongst, you know what I mean, your peers.
And you with Drake and Migos.
He just had the feel, the aesthetic. And I'm not saying Gucci's a goat by any means, but he gave that appeal to me at the time. I ain't gonna lie, that might have been the greatest comeback. Some people say Tiger.
Hey, that's a big one. I ain't gonna lie, no, that's a big one. That's a big one. Cause he was done even on the West Coast. Like when he was begging Young Money. He was begging Wayne and them.
She could get a taste.
Yeah, he was mad at Drake. Remember, he was hot at Drake, like, y'all replace me with Drake. He was hot, and you know,
it was crazy when he said that. It was like, bro, I never knew you were standing next to Drake.
Nobody told me. Man, bro, you read my mind, bro. I never considered you and Drake to ever be on the same level. No disrespect. I'm just saying.
That was Tiger's thinking, though. It was like Mama
jumping
though.
Up next to Jay-Z and Alicia Keys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. No, that was bad. Yeah, nah. Nah, but, you know, but Tiger was different. At least he was part of the crew.
He's good, but let's be real. It's hard. It's not a lot of guys in Drake's stratosphere.
Yeah, no, I mean.
Tiger, but there's not a lot.
What about, let me ask you, what about 50 Cent? After he got shot.
I would put him in the 2 Chainz reinvent category a little bit. Because he wasn't 50. All the way. He wasn't all the way 50, you know, when he got shot. We heard about it more after.
I'm going with 04 Maze, bro. Welcome back. I have to, bro.
That song
all them shaking like crazy. Chicks double dutching behind you. I look like I was in the video.
Now, yeah, I think Nas has a comeback story.
Well, that a comeback.
Shout out to Burrow. Look,
Nas fell off.
That's his guy. That's Burrow's man right there. But Nas, he definitely had a comeback, or at least a hiatus, where we seen him get into the financial markets and then really come back prominent to rapping. Juicy J up there.
Oh, that's facts. Bands that make a dance.
Juicy J, I mean, is right there with the 2 Chainz, except for he was hot before. So
I'm about to say, I'm gonna give a real comeback. When I'm not gonna say reinvention with him, because like you said, he was hot before that.
Yeah, yeah, no, he's hot. That's a comeback. And then I'm always say E-42, just what he's been doing. But this is similar to 50 Cent. But you know, he got the goon with the spoon out here in Costco. He just got his food, sausages and shit, ice cream, drink.
I respect it. Shout out to his noodles, the prime rib or wrap snack noodles. That shit was good. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, noodles.
But it gotta be the Louisiana. Shout out to them. They should sponsor us too. Louisiana hot sauce. Mm-hmm. Just the dad.
I'm fucking with it. Do y'all think Snoop had did he ever fall off? Was it a comeback, or do you think he was just consistent?
I think it's just different versions of Snoop. You got Death Row Snoop. You got No Limit Snoop. Then you got Snoop after that. I don't know. I wouldn't consider
Coach Snoop over here. Snoop.
Yeah. Then he
and Snoop Lion.
I feel like Snoop is different because Snoop has the ability where we accept him. He's such a large part of, forget hip hop. He's such a large part of culture. People accepted right. Snoop doing stuff with Martha Stewart. Like, I feel like the things Snoop did, we wouldn't even accept every rapper doing.
Right. So, who y'all going? I'm going with Mace. 04 Mace. That's my final answer.
I think I'm going with Gucci.
Skinny Gucci.
I'm thinking of too, but hold on, let me think.
Yeah, he got skinny too, bro. God damn. Look, he came out in shape. And he was even hotter before. He was actually hotter before when he was making goddamn photo shoot and all the beginning of his career was going crazy when he was with Zaytoven. Crazy shit. But then he came out with got with Drake, Migos, signed a couple artists, fit. Wife made him $2 million while he was in the pen. You know what I'm saying?
I'm about to say somebody y'all not thinking of and not expecting because he's not considered really a rapper no more. Give me Will Smith 97. Get Jiggy with It, Welcome to Miami.
That's fair.
Because he went from DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. He went from Parents Just Don't Understand, Summertime. He became this big TV show star, this big movie star. Then he dropped another album, Men in Black, soundtrack, Get Jiggy with It, Welcome to Miami, Just the Two of Us. I know it's kind of popish hip hop. But man, that 97, he was on fire, bro.
Yeah, he made some money, though.
That nigga was on fire. That 97 was a great year for that, from Will Smith. 97, 98.
I'll give it that. I'll say, yeah, if I had to compare the two of the times, I think Gucci's is more in the modern era. Like I said, that's definitely a good one. But yeah, I'm going to still go with Gucci.
Y'all both on Gucci. I'm going Mace, 04. I'm going with Murder Mace, 2004. Welcome back.
That song, now you talk about the best comeback song. That's the best comeback song of all time.
How do you top, you know what I mean, a Welcome Back?
Like if he didn't, but he didn't come out with too, I would say where it falls off to me, he didn't come out with too much, many follow-ups to that.
Breathe, Stretch, Shake It, Let It Go, and that was it.
Remember, that was on NFL Street. I was little with that on the Lotus.
Yeah, that was fire. I forgot that was his song. I thought that was Fab. Fab was on there too?
It sounded like a Fab song. She was in Fat Albert, man. That's how I remember it.
So yeah, I just think he didn't follow up too much with Welcome Back. But now he has another resurgence, right? And if you look up the list, they put Joe Budden on that list and stuff. So you could also come back in a whole different media form, platform, and everything. So there's also that as well.
Shout out to the podcasters, especially those at the 80s, 90s, 2000s vibe, one of the greatest on the planet.
Hey.
A lot of respects. Mace 04, man. I'm gonna make a little thing in the story and see who they pick. We're gonna go Skinny Gucci, man. Mace, Welcome Back.
Listen, no, it's 97. Clone Gucci.
Okay, yeah. Clone Gucci.
And they thought that nigga was a clone, bro. That's how hard he came back. They're like, there's no way this is the same nigga, bro.
Now, honestly, just reminiscing, it makes you just kind of appreciate just how many people in the short 50 years, you know what I mean, hip hop been around that have reinvented, recreated, restructured, and came back with, as they would say with Tom Brady, 2 or 3 Hall of Fame careers. So shout out to all of them.
What about, before we end this, what about LL Cool J lounging Hey Lover era? Because he, you know, yeah, that kind of does a comeback? No.
I'm going to say it flirted with being a comeback, but I don't think it ever got to really fully realize its potential, because I feel like after that, it was still like he was still kind of stuck in that movie-ish world where it was people kind of still looked at him as more as that as opposed to a rapper. Because
but he killed it with that little head sprung. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but they call me Big L.A.
I liked it.
Big L.A.
That's exactly the problem. That's
Big
exactly why we look like
Big
now.
Tele. That nigga wasn't saying that.
That move right there, that's why we don't listen. That's why we be like, nah, we shouldn't
Oh,
look
well, no. What's the one with him and Jennifer Lopez?
I take it back. He was doing the most with that. But hey, we didn't get on Tasha K and K-Hart, though.
Oh man, yes, please.
Tasha K, you had to make OnlyFans at some point, man.
Yeah,
Tasha K is getting sued, ladies and gentlemen, apparently by Kevin Hart. And as the story goes, Tasha K had a former assistant of Kevin Hart's, who I believe he's suing as well, who came on and made some false and obviously defamatory claims about Kevin Hart. And she pretty much, before December 22nd of 2023, said that if Kevin Hart did not pay $250,000, she was going to put the interview out, and she did. So, fellas, one, how do you feel now? Because I know we talked about her and whether she learned a lesson or not before. One, do you feel like she's still malicious?
She said that?
Yeah, this is apparently what she said, and now Kevin Hart is about to sue you. This is according
for extortion.
And Will Smith can sue her too, probably.
Very likely, but what do y'all think of this?
Well, we know that she didn't pay that dude that put out that interview.
Asked for $250,000, like, yeah, because I think he's suing for extortion, Kevin Hart.
Hey, there go that extortion. You know, I'll be preaching extortion. Like, once you put it out, you can't get no money. It's over. So she tried. Now, I'll give her some credit for trying, Tasha.
She
but
tried
maybe
to play cardio.
You shouldn't have said it in so many words, like putting some money, like some prices out there. Like, let them bring it up. You know what I'm saying? Man, you got to work on your game a little bit when it comes to that. But now, should he be able to sue her? I think so. I mean, I think it's worth a piece of litigation. I think it's worth going through the motions saying like, hey, she really was trying to hold this over my head and tried to get me to pay her to keep my name clean. You know, I do think there's a smoother way to go about it. But in the end, I mean, what's it worth to you, brother? Like, what's it worth to you, K-Hart? You're going to keep it under wraps. And who was the interview from?
His former assistant.
His former assistant. Oh, that said everything about the... Okay, yeah, I seen that clip where she talked about the blonde.
And yeah, that he has a gambling problem.
And she bought him some new furniture and some all this stuff so he could be getting it on in his office. I mean, I don't... Kevin Hart, he's kind of a gangster, bro. He don't care if this shit come out. He gonna let it come out. He gonna explain it to his wife. He gonna pay his way, and he gonna keep moving, and he gonna get that money through the lawsuit. So, you know, I got love for Tasha K and K Hart, but I'm rolling with K Hart on this one. Do what you got to do, player.
Yeah, Tasha K, man, god damn, you pissing off some rich people, dog. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, bro, you got Cardi on your ass. I'm still waiting to see a Will and Jada suit and Kevin Hart. All right, Tasha, you built for this shit for real, man. More good luck to you.
Move your ass to Africa, man. Just go ahead.
No, it pisses me off a little bit, Jamal. It's like, at some point, you know what your due diligence is from the Cardi case. Did you truly believe these stories were true? And if you did, then it is what it is. But it's like, if you didn't, and it sounds like you couldn't have based on the way Kevin Hart's reacting, are you crazy? Like, it's one of those, have you lost your mind?
I think Tasha K is crazy.
Oh, okay, that makes sense then.
Yeah, because when you're doing a legitimate documentary, though, you fact check and you make sure that your sources are good and you're putting out this information against powerful people. I think, you know, it's important to do those things to keep yourself away from these lawsuits. Obviously, she's clearly just letting these people blab off at the mouth, and she's paying them. That's definitely, you know, not, it's a conflict of interest. And then obviously she's trying to get money on the back end with the extortion. She got to calm down. You got to relax. Man,
Tasha K don't give a fuck. And she's showing time and time again that she don't. She going to be a legend, bro.
She's going to have to start killing people at this rate. All the money she owe. You kidding me?
She's going to have to become an assassin, bro.
She need to have a paid streaming service. Don't fit. Oh, she does have one, don't she?
Yeah, she need to be behind a paywall,
this is
on her
Patreon. Yeah, this is behind the paywall to my knowledge. I don't believe you can actually free. Because I didn't see no video of this on the vlog. But either way, yeah, I just want to say, yeah, to Tasha K, to anybody out there, yeah, just be careful. Like, it's one thing, we understand we are in, you know, the journalism scope, but it's sensationalism, and then there's some shit that your ass gonna get sued for. You know what I mean? Sensationalize, get your little, you know, tidbits in there, but don't do things like this if you know them to not be true. Like I said, I'm not sure what the case is with her. It definitely doesn't look good, but yeah, like Jamal said, you built for this, bro, because couldn't be me.
Yeah, Tasha K, the new Wendy Williams, bro.
Yeah, I mean, at least throw the disclaimer on there that everything in this could be fake. Like, I don't know. It was not fact checked. This is all on the person that's saying it. Like, cover yourself. Don't put it, because she'd be acting like this is facts. Like, this happened. I got the receipt. I made sure I checked. You just putting yourself, you know, at making yourself liable. But you know what they really needed to do? They need to get together all these gossip shows, just start a streaming service, everything on there fake. Everybody got a show. Tasha K, she can have her own daytime show. Every day, 5 o'clock, we'll tune in and just hear some bullshit. Same right there with Wendy Williams. They was tuned in every day with, bro, the Wendy Williams show.
Can you imagine Tasha K, Academics, Charlamagne? Can you imagine all these...
Wendy Williams, all these
on a paid streaming, a premium platform, bro, and you would have to pay to watch their content. That should have gone crazy.
That's what I'm saying. Throw the Shade Room on there, World Star. Everybody just have an hour show.
But I will say this to Tasha K, I hope you're going to make enough money behind this paywall to cover this lawsuit. They're taking all your Google money. They got your YouTube checks, I believe, Cardi. I don't even think they go to Cardi. I think they go to Culture. And then after that,
coach. Not to the culture, but culture, the little girl. Man, I feel bad for Tasha K. I ain't gonna lie. Cause it looked like she was on a trajectory to go crazy. And then
she's just... on a Lee boy, but do you feel like any of this is her fault?
Yeah.
That's what, why it's hard to feel, but so bad. Cause I ain't gonna lie. Part of me feel like, man, it sucks.
Insinuating though that Cardi has an STD, that's not like a crazy insinuation. It could be a joke. I mean, no, it could have been a joke if she would have posed it as a joke. You know what I'm saying? You could easily get away with something like that, but you make it seem like it's facts and you got the receipt, test.
To make it seem like this is fact. That's why I'm like, I feel like you doing this to yourself, and you know you've been through a whole court case for years. That wasn't no little case, that was years.
Yeah, it's her fault. I ain't gonna never say nothing that's clearly a rumor as a fact. Like, I know you don't know.
And if you do, put your signature on it so they know it was you.
Right.
Don't drag me into it.
Man, thoughts and prayers to Tasha K, man. You're going to need them.
Shout out to her.
For real.
Hey. I think that's it, fellas. We didn't got through it without Burrow, man. R.I.P. to Burrow. Yeah. You know, we moving on.
Yeah. Hey, remember that
leave
Drake
us a
album.
Comment.
You remember that Drake album? You're done, no way.
You're done.
Charles Burrow, bro. Nah, serious though. Charles Burrow, bro. Look at him, man.
Here we go.
Bro, I tried with you, my nigga. Like, I legit tried. I can't make you score the basket, son. Like, I can drop the perfect dime. I can put you in the perfect position to score. I can get you to pass perfectly. I can't put the ball in the goal for you, nigga. I can't do it, bro. It's up to you, my nigga. But I seriously doubt you're going to look yourself in the mirror and be like, man, I was tripping. Hey, you don't have to, bro, because I don't give a fuck about you, nigga. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, bro.
But for the record, you was tripping, bro. I'ma just say it. Like, it wasn't that serious. You could have just switched the topic. It was just one topic. You could have suggested something else.
I never would have thought it would have blew up like that, like you said.
You could have suggested something else. But hey, 89,000 vibes, baby. We here, baby.
Yeah, we the big three now, man. Hey, fellas, shout out to our socials. Let the people know everything y'all got coming up, all that good stuff.
Yes, sir. At Leeboy TV on pretty much all socials, leeboytv.com, leonfrierson.com. Thank you guys for all your support of the Jolly Holiday Single. We was on radio somewhere. I heard in Virginia we was on the radio. We got like, it was less than 100 Shazams, but you gotta be able to, you gotta be hearing it to Shazam it, right? So somebody was out there playing it. So we was lucky to get all the engagement. And thank you also to the 80s, 90s, 2000 Vibes platform for putting this up there, you know, giving us a couple moments. Y'all saw the little Urkel video. That was hella fun. This shit off the wall.
Yeah, next year the thriller, yeah.
Hey, and plus, this one gonna go on for years and years. We ain't gonna bury Jolly Holiday. Y'all gonna hear it every year. It's gonna be the Christmas jam, hopefully, of the decade. That's the goal.
That's the goal.
So we out here, baby.
Next year, the thriller year, man. Y'all know what the fuck that
means.
Hey. Follow me, y'all, on all platforms at Real Man Corbin. Like I said earlier, shout out to y'all on how did we miss this? We had 250,000 views on the first three episodes. The fourth is gonna be even crazier, and yeah, like I said, we just appreciate everything y'all been doing supporting with the brand. We got merch coming for y'all. We got Patreon exclusives coming every week. So yeah, y'all just continue to tune in, support. We give y'all everything we want that y'all seem to want, and then more. But yeah, we love y'all. Thank you.
Hey man, follow me at Josh Jamar Joseph Jermaine Adams on Instagram. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. But most importantly, follow us at 80s90s2005 on Instagram, on Threads, TikTok, Twitter, X. Whatever the fuck, Facebook, subscribe to us on YouTube. Join our Patreon, man. If y'all want exclusive content, you have to join our Patreon. $4.99 a month. You goddamn, my nigga. Cancel that Hulu subscription, bro. For real. You know what I'm saying?
All that
good stuff. We're a trio now, bro. So y'all gotta accept it. Listeners gotta accept it. You know what I'm saying? If you don't, I don't know what to tell you. I am Jermaine Joseph Adams. I just fucked up my own name. This is 89,000 Vibes Podcast.
Yes, sir. Leeboy TV.
Real Man Corbin.
Tomorrow, and we out. Chop, bro, get a job, nigga.
Go DJ or something, bruh. God damn.
Why? They go there record shit again.
All right, you got to just close it. I think last time you had to clear up space before this happened too, so you might need to just close it.
Like in the car?
Well, I don't know, because I think I ended up leaving, but I remember the last time you had to clear up space in the beginning, it went in.
I forget what you did, but you didn't end the call, but I forget what you did, because me and Triborough was talking while you did it. Either way, I know you deleted the end of this part. I'm about to take this damn durag off my head, knocked out of my head.
Yeah, I'm about to, I'm going to check out though. I got to eat this dinner. Kids, wait, dummy.
All right. I'll be out.
All right.